Check your political correctness at the door. It's time for the Kate Daly Show.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
Oh, I love that line from Naked Gun. Anyway, welcome, Kate Daly Show. Last hour on a Tuesday. So happy to have you listening, of course. I've got Uncle Milty. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Okay. And, of course, Mel Madison joins us because he does every Tuesday. Love this. And I love Mel's take on things, and I always love the research that he puts into this. So thank you, Mel. The book is Quoz. Go get it. Quoz. And it's a wonderful thriller, but reality-based, into reality of the reality of where we're at right now with so many things that we talk about on the show. So I always appreciate that. And welcome to the show, Mel.
Hello, Kate. Hi, Uncle Milton. Hey. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. So glad you're with us. We have a lot to talk about. But we were just talking about China. We were just talking about how they seem to be very, very busy over in this country. And not only last year, I was wondering why in the world people were buying California properties at the rate they were at full price, because people were leaving California. They were jetting out of California faster than they could hire a moving truck. And all of a sudden, people are buying all these homes on the coasts. And I looked into that. And of course, the Chinese are able to do that with getting absolutely no repercussions for taking money out to buy real estate here, and could do so along the coast at that full price. And so I thought that was kind of amazing. And then we talk about this gold mining going on. And you, Uncle Milty, were talking, and I don't know if we ever brought that up to the show, but McConnell's sister-in-law, Angela Chow,
yeah,
and a connection to the bridge.
His sister-in-law, and he's got a lot of Chinese relations, mm-hmm, are in the shipping business.
Uh-huh. And had connections
to that company. And she turns up dead.
She turned up, yeah. That was a really strange story.
Was she getting ready to expose something?
Right. So that was really strange. And I don't know if we had actually brought that to the show. I know we talked about it off the air. But Mel, you were also talking about China. Did you want to bring that in too? Yellen.
Yes, sure.
Yellen.
So Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, former head of our Federal Reserve, she's heading to China this week to meet with her counterpart over there. And I was, you know, scanning through some of the financial headlines ahead of coming on today. And this one just jumped out because it was titled from Reuters, U.S. Treasury's Yellen to return to China, emphasize excess capacity threat. So basically what we're talking about here is excess capacity threat. And this is, you know, essentially we're living in a time of inflation, right? Prices are going up. And Yellen is flying over there. Her main concern is excess capacity, and it's excess capacity in essentially all of the stuff that goes into EVs that nobody wants to buy. You know, things like batteries, EV batteries, solar cells. China's got so much of this stuff. She's worried they're going to start dumping it on the U.S. and the world market, and it's going to drive down the values of all of her, you know, buddies' clean tech energy investments, you know, the green Al Gore generational investment management company, all the other intrigues that go on with the climate agenda, as we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be an interesting thing to just, you know, kick off with this story and this headline and how it ties into their larger goals of creating artificial scarcity.
Oh, boy. Uncle Milty?
Don't you? I think that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I let China suffer their excess capacity and not let it ruin our own auto manufacturing in the United States at the same time.
Yeah,
exactly. If they were really concerned about the environment and they wanted people to buy EVs. So once again, the problem here is like essentially she's afraid that batteries and everything is going to get too cheap, that it's going to be too easy because nobody wants them. So if they were really concerned about people driving mm-hmm. clean cars, right. quote unquote clean cars. Mm-hmm. You know, if they wanted the average American in their EV, mm-hmm. this would be a blessing. This would be like, yeah, you know, let's keep creating all these things.
Yeah.
But it's obviously not about that.
They know it's not going to work. They know that it's far too expensive. And they don't care about the damage it does. They don't care about what's happening, you know, to families across the United States that are buying these and investing in these. And really, it's a mechanism to get us out of cars altogether. Eric at Eric Peters Autos, we've had him on the show, and he put out an article, Why Cars Are Important. I think he's gotten more comments off this than any article he's ever written in his life because of the fact that they're trying to take away our driving ability is what it's about. Uncle Milty?
But they are concerned with keeping the mm-hmm. facade of climate change alive.
Right. Yes. Oh, yes. They must, right?
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff, the way it's written, I mean, you can't even, this is like a quote from it. So she's going to China this week, quote, to continue her economic dialogue with top Chinese officials amid a new emphasis on the global threat posed by the Asian superpowers' growing excess industrial capacity. So this we are in a world of high inflation mm-hmm. and China, which has had essentially a little bit of an economic meltdown. So, you know, just for your viewers that aren't following Chinese economy, as I know most people in their right mm-hmm. mind don't, I do though. Right. You know, they had a huge property bubble in recent years and it essentially collapsed. And they've got this population decline problem. They're having a host of economic problems. People are not wanting to buy from China, right? So mm-hmm. we're wanting to onshore, do things here. Other countries don't want them having control over the supply chain. And so everything is actually, this sounds like great. This sounds what exactly we as Americans should want. China is awash in excess industrial capacity. But this is what our Treasury Secretary has on top of her list right now, as this is what she needs to do to help the American economy. She needs to fly over to China to address this crisis of excess capacity. And this only makes sense when you look at it through the lens of an international cabal of deep economic state. When you look at it that way, this is all, you know, it makes total sense. It's
right.
exactly what you would expect. But if you look at it from the traditional perspective, it's crazy. When you look at it the way reality actually is, it makes total sense.
Amen to that.
And at the same time, China has no domestic market for this stuff.
Interesting.
Exactly. They have no domestic market. You know, we've had these mm-hmm. these scares before. China did this with excess steel capacity. Nobody went over there to save the steel industry. They're going over there also because this is happening with something that's near and dear to their heart. If this was China's got excess capacity in ammunition, mm-hmm. Believe me, or something, you know, they wouldn't be going over to save the gun manufacturers in the U.S. But they're going over there to save the green tech industrial complex. And, you know, the other thing that this just relates to is the broader way that they necessitate essentially artificial scarcity of food, housing, mm-hmm. education, and healthcare. The four mm-hmm. big essentials, the government sticks their hand into it all the time. There's no reason we should have a housing shortage and it should cost you $600,000 to buy a four-bedroom house. You know, there's so much lumber. There's so much land in this country. Mm-hmm. There's so much resources. You know, but they want to invest $1.8 trillion in green energy. If they invested even half of that mm-hmm. in, you know, housing, and I don't think they should because mm-hmm. the free market could handle this. All they right. got to do is get out of the way, lift restrictions, let people develop new suburbs, new towns.
Right.
But they don't want that. They want us crammed into the cities, and it's all part of this artificial scarcity of energy, housing, yep. healthcare, and education.
Uncle Milty has a comment, but I was just going to say, you were the one that brought up that if inflation was normal, inflation in the housing market like it has been in, I wouldn't say normal, but just the inflation. Normal isn't a good word, but we would probably be at around $200,000 a house if we would have actually scaled it up from the 70s. Uncle Milty?
You know, socialism in itself is a mindset of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Capitalism is a mindset of abundance.
Good point.
And those are the huge differences
good
here
point.
That are going on.
Yeah.
Exactly. We, you know, we do sometimes a poor job on the conservative side a little bit, because the left goes out and promises all these things like free housing and all this great life. Mm-hmm. And then they never deliver. They just make it worse. What capitalism actually provides is it provides the cheap housing. It provides the good job. It provides, you know, you taking more pay home. You know, $20 an hour in California, we can get into that later maybe. But, you know, the amount of taxes that California takes out of that and the shady dealings behind that. So the truth is that nothing has created greater wealth, greater improvement for more people than the free markets and capitalism. And all socialism has created, if you look at the experience, is misery and, you know, hardship. So that's the reality. Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell you, you know, a hot fudge sundae, and they've got, you know, a big pile of cow poo left over from Milt's studies, you know, left over
Thanks,
from
Uncle
his
Milty
studies.
From last hour. So, anyway,
so that's the way they're doing it. That's what they're up to.
I love it. In fact, you should talk minimum wage. This is interesting. I thought this was very interesting. Go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah. And just also really quick, because you mentioned inflation, I caught the first hour guest, the gentleman from Birch Gold, and all the stuff he said was completely spot on. And, you know, I've been talking about gold, you know, for a while too. It just hit, you know, $2,300 an ounce today, you know, all time high. And he mentioned the all time inflation adjusted high, that in inflation adjusted terms in the 80s, if you took that high of 850, it should be about 3,300. But the one thing I have to disagree with him with is that he's looking at it using government inflation numbers. If you actually used true inflation and they have rejiggered the CPI and all this, you know, it wouldn't be 3,300. The inflation adjusted high would be 5,000, 6,000. So that's really what it, I think it's heading to. Now, I don't know what happens to gold next week or next month. What I'm talking about is long-term trends, you know, heading into the end of this decade. But I would be actually surprised if it didn't hit $5,000 an ounce by 2030. I would be, you know,
or sooner,
shocked.
Or sooner, maybe 2025, 2026.
It could happen a lot sooner,
Because I don't know if they want people buying it. And I think right now is a good time. I think you should get in on it. If you were, I think all of us should be varied in gold and silver. All of us should have ample of all different kinds of things going on in our financial world. Go ahead, Uncle Milty. Yeah.
Well, there's two benefits to that, too. Right. You can make your wife happy. By buying her gold jewelry.
There you go. I like it. But there's just so much. And we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about minimum wage. The government should have absolutely no fingers in wage whatsoever. It's interesting how we've gotten to a point in society where there's some sort of acceptance going on with minimum wage, as if the market couldn't do that itself. I mean, people are going to go where the wages are. People are going to be driven to jobs where the wages are, where they're competitive. And so the fact that the government puts its fingers in this, they have absolutely zero role to do this. But we're gonna come back. We'll talk about this more with Mel Madison when we come back. The book is Quaz. Get the book. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
Hey, everybody. Financial experts who thought we were in the clear are anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. This is important info. And then the inflation data came out higher than expected, and this isn't going to go away. It can't go away, actually. The U.S. is $34 trillion in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which is going to push the price up. You pay every day even higher, so it's only going to get higher. And so you can either bury your head in the sand or do something about it. And I'm telling you, Birch Gold Group is incredible. I would not tell you about them if I didn't love these guys and trust these guys. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. And gold is your hedge against inflation. And Birch Gold makes it easy to own, right? It doesn't cost you anything to do this, and you're shoring yourself up for what comes. So they'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket for it. Text Kate, my name, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. I'm telling you, this is such a great option. At least get the information. 989898.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Make sure and text Birch Gold. Philip Patrick was on in the last hour, and letting people know you have opportunities right now, and don't let those pass you by. You've got an opportunity to secure what you have with gold, your IRAs, your savings, and your retirement. Please do so. At least get the information. Text 989898 and text my name, Kate. They are fantastic to buy gold and silver from, and they're who I trust, who Ron Paul trusts, who Steve Bannon trusts. Donald Trump Jr. now is talking about Birch Gold all the time. So doing a lot of business with Birch Gold. So text 989898 and text my name, Kate. We have Mel Madison on and talking about minimum wage. Tell us the latest, Mel.
Yes. So yesterday they announced there's a pretty big story in the mainstream media, although they never really got into what's really happening, which we will today. Mm-hmm. But California rolled out $20 an hour minimum wage, but very specifically targeted. Only fast food restaurants that are essentially chains with 60 or more locations. So they did this, for a host of reasons that we'll get into. But essentially, that was what they rolled out yesterday.
Okay, so let's get into at least reason number one in this short segment.
Okay. What was it? So the reason number one is let's take a really quick step back. It's just obviously we all know that when the government steps in, everybody wants everyone to get a fair wage. But when the government starts in and picking winners and losers and mandating, well, this industry, and not only this industry, but if you're in this subgroup of an industry, this is what your minimum wage is, the type of inefficiencies that it's going to drive in the California labor market are huge, and they'll have ramifications for years to come. There will be people that are going to be at other jobs and say, well, I'm going to quit because I'm going to go work for McDonald's and make 20, so now you've got to pay me 20. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, all kinds of basically, market inefficiencies in the labor market that in the long term will hurt consumers and businesses. But the other thing that they did was they targeted 60 or larger chains with 60 or more locations. And so it makes people think, okay, great, they're going after the big companies. They're going after McDonald's, they're going after Pizza Hut. But the thing that you have to understand, these are franchises. These companies are owned by small business owners. They're mom and pop type stuff. They're family. Some of them are big and might own 100 locations, but a lot of these people own 1, 2, 3 locations. And they're the ones that actually have to pay the higher wage. McDonald's, and I went into their franchise agreements, the way that McDonald's gets paid is it has nothing to do with the profitability of a location. It has to do with gross sales. And so the higher minimum wage, it gives McDonald's corporate cover to go ahead and raise prices on your hamburgers and french fries. That drives gross sales, even though the business owners, mom and dad, are going to make less money. Mom and dad are going to have to pay more for hamburgers for their kids, but the gross sales will go up, and that's the way McDonald's gets paid, typically 4% of gross sales at a location. So this is just going to line corporate pockets. It's going to target certain industries, and then there's the whole union backroom deals that are really fascinating that hopefully we can get into later.
Yeah. Want a comment?
People don't understand how a franchise works. McDonald's Corporation sells the franchise, and they demand that the person who buys the franchise buys all their supplies through McDonald's.
They can't
go shop for a lower price ground beef or make their own french fries cheaper. They have to buy from McDonald's.
Is one of the things weeding out all the small mom and pop burger places? Because with control over our food and what they're putting into now fake meat, they can control that a lot more with your blanket large corporations like this than they can the mom and pops who choose to get beef from a local farmer or something. I mean, is there a calculated effort at the end of this to control the fast food market, the beef specifically?
It is. Yep. And the other thing they want to do is use this as excuses and cover to bring in more automation and AI. You know, they have these computer models now. You can go to a drive-thru. The computer model can speak 120 different languages, so you can order your hamburger in Swahili. And, you know, basically, they're going to start laying these people off. This was a survey I found from the Center for Union Facts, where they went out and surveyed restaurant workers. The restaurant workers didn't want this to happen. This was union organized by a group called the Service Employees International Union. And so, you know, we'll have time, I'm sure, to get into some of the facts of these surveys and what this union is really up to and who's behind it, their ties to criminal ties, and ties to Gavin Newsom.
Okay. Oh, Gavin, gruesome. I'll be right back. Kate Daly Show, more with Mel Madison, Uncle Milty, myself on a Tuesday. Be right back. Hey,
this is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're tuned in. KateDalyRadio.com. KateDalyRadio.com. The 800 number, if you're listening to us live, is right there. And also on the bottom of the homepage are all the SoundClouds that you can take and listen to. Also, share them in your email. Share them to all your contacts on social media, on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, and Facebook. We sure appreciate that. I've got Uncle Milty. I've got Mel Madison. The book is Quaz. And get that book, actually. People are loving that book, by the way, Mel. That's awesome. I love that they're loving the book. That's kind of cool. Very, very cool. All right. So, Mel, let's talk a little bit about this minimum wage hike in California. Very targeted. Some of the other reasons behind this, too.
Yeah. So almost any, you know, story you would read on it, you'd hear mention of this group, SEIU, which is essentially the union that was behind all of this. And so SEIU, Service Employees International Union, has a lot of shady dealings, which we'll get into. But essentially what it is, it's a nonprofit, you know, union. So they get protected status. They essentially are a front for funneling workers, you know, through the immigration process. When you go to their website, it's not about kind of worker rights or anything like that. It's all about how you can become a citizen. They link up prominently to this other nonprofit called iAmerica, where they tell you about all the tips and tricks to get, you know, free housing, to get on the path to what they call, you know, TPS, temporary protected status, how they can help you qualify for this if you come from any one of like 20 countries, Afghanistan, Burma, Cameroon, El Salvador, Ethiopia, Haiti, Honduras, Nepal, Nicaragua, Somalia, South Sudan, I mean, it could go on, Ukraine, Venezuela. It goes on and on, and how they funnel this and everything they talk about is around the socialists. It's a lot like Black Lives Matter. And then you go read their website and they talk about pushing the end of the nuclear family and the socialist agenda. It's another one of those groups that comes out as a union. And then you go to their website and it's all about, you know, extreme left-wing politics, the latest tweet on their homepage, come November, we're going to stop Trump and MAGA Republicans from having the last word on who they consider people. So this is all a political thing. They're in bed with Gavin Newsom, and this is how it all starts.
Oh, my gosh. And this is Service Employees International Union. The name says it all. And they are mostly in California, or sounds like they're everywhere?
Everywhere. This is a large multi-million member union. This is a power player. They have offices in Washington, D.C. I went into the leadership backgrounds of some of these people, and that's where you start finding the corruption. That's where you start finding the kickbacks, the embezzlement, the tax fraud. You know, we can get into some of those details so you can understand it. These are like mafia rackets, these unions. This is not workers who are demanding this. There's a lot of workers who come together to fight against their union leadership. I went to a website called Labor Pains that's basically all these people that are hardworking Americans that hate their union bosses, you know, and there's another one called the Center for Union Facts, where it talks about, you know, they polled actual restaurant workers And it's like this, the SEIU alleges that restaurant employees face an abusive environment, do not feel they are heard at their workplace. We asked actual workers to share their experiences. Here's what they had to say. I enjoy working at my restaurant. Either strongly agree or somewhat agree, 92%. I feel that my concerns are heard, 76%. I feel safe at work, 95%. This is what the workers actually feel when you go out and ask them. These people in charge are corrupt.
We also have a caller. Go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Not that this might sound collectivist.
Hold on, caller.
But the company that did that poll that you posted, Mel, is called Big Village.
Exactly. This isn't some right-wing think tank doing these polls. That's what I love. Oh, I don't have to go to Breitbart to find this.
Yeah.
You know, you
There's
can
no
go to
here.
Their own sources. You go to their own sources, and it's straight from them. This union was the victim of one of the largest union staff strikes in American history. Yep. I didn't know there is such a thing. Union staff. That's the organizers of the union went out on the picket lines against these leaders, people like April Verrett, who's getting ready possibly to take charge of the entire operation. Yep. And that's where I get into these connections with people she has hired recently.
You say she's like the Fannie Willis of unions. Let's take a caller real quick. I love that. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, yeah. This is Chris from Northern Utah.
Uh-huh.
I have a question that I've always tried to have people answer.
Okay.
I've never gotten a clear answer. So our national debt, and I know this is kind of a change in course a little bit, but it's not really.
Mm-hmm.
So our national debt is $34 trillion. Mm-hmm. And I've always been fond of telling people that every one of those dollars is owed back to the Federal Reserve System with interest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Because we owe some of that to Germany. We owe some of it to Japan, China, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm. Go ahead, Mel.
Approximately $8 trillion of that 34, mm-hmm. so roughly 25%, is currently on the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. So those interest payments go to the Federal Reserve, and then the Federal Reserve remits that interest payment back to the Treasury. So we do not actually pay interest on a quarter of our debt. The problem with the Federal Reserve buying debt is when it does that, that's essentially just increasing the money supply. And when you increase the money supply, but the level of goods and services stays the same, you have more money sloshing around, that's what you get inflation. And that's why we had the massive inflation in the last 3 years, was because the Federal Reserve bought so much of the debt. Now, what typically happens is that banks and foreign countries buy the rest of the debt, and the government does pay interest to them. But there are ways in which that's not even completely true either, because what happens is banks then, through things like reverse repo markets, mm-hmm. they park these assets at the Federal Reserve. They take loans out against it that they pay interest up to the Federal Reserve. And so the Federal Reserve can collect monies that way. So there are different ways that the interest is not as black and white, but definitely a lot of what the caller just asked about happens, which is the interest just goes to the Federal Reserve, but not all of it. When it goes to foreign countries, mm-hmm. it goes to foreign countries, but they're holding it in dollars, so it's keeping the demand for the dollar artificially high.
Thank you for answering that. I think you got that question answered. And then, of course, just real quick, because we're going to get back to this with the unions and the crazy that's happening there, because it's so obvious. But the whole Iran headline, your quick take on the Iran headline, because that seems to be pumping in as the top headline of this week. What's your take real quick on the Iran headlines?
I don't see the international cabal that's behind all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not unknown people. We can get into some names at the union and stuff. But, you know, I don't see them wanting the Middle East to explode into World War III right now or quite yet.
Yep.
And so a lot of this, you know, you have to look at the timing and you have to look at who benefits. So, you know, they love to talk about Iran, but when you really go back to the multi-century history of Iran, you realize the importance that Russia had in essentially the development of the Iranian oil field. You have to understand the world is breaking into two camps right now. It's a Russia-China BRICS camp. Iran is part of that due to their historical ties to Russia. And, you know, we had a great year for energy in 2022. Then in 2023, last year, it was horrible. The oil price was plummeting. And all of a sudden, surprise, by surprise, you know, you had October 7th. And now energy was the best performing sector in the stock market for quarter one, except for comm services, which is basically like Meta. So it was up over 15%. So what that means is that when Russia needs money, mm-hmm. they tell Iran caused trouble in the Middle East, the oil price goes up, Putin gets a little bump in the bank.
I love it that you just put it that way so simply, because I knew that you were going to go there. That is, thank you for that. This is why not paying attention to that today as the biggest headline we have, because it's a nothing burger again. Yep. And whenever I see nukes are loading, oh my gosh, I remember reading that last Christmas. Nukes were loading. Of course, it was Russia at the helm, but it's always, you know, enemy A, enemy B, enemy C are loading the nukes. Never loaded, just loading. And in the process, it's almost like the Arctic melting for 25 years. It's the slowest melt in history. It's bunk. It's anyway, be right back. Kate Daly Show. There you go.
The Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. Uncle Milty's on. I'm on. And of course, we've got Mel Madison on too. And love this, because you got to hear the other side of this explanation too with the Iran headlines. We started the show off saying, you know what, these Iran headlines, bogus again. I will never forget covering North Korea for a decade, it seemed. And every single time they had to create fear, everybody would email me and they go, North Korea's finger's on the button. And I'm like, boy, it's on the button for a really long time there. And I pictured a stage and it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And North Korea spinning along from stage right to stage left, saying, here I am as the big boogeyman fear. And they're doing it again with Iran. What is the other theory with Iran, Mel?
Yes. Yeah, so we were talking about the connections of Iran to Russia and the manipulation of oil prices. And just two things I was going to add to what I said was number one, this is why I'm not worried that, you know, World War III is upon us, because I don't think that these people in power want that to happen right now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're not playing with fire with these things, and they're not God, and they can mm-hmm. make mistakes, and bad things can definitely happen. So it's serious business what they're doing, but they're not directing us toward World War III. The other thing is that if we do see an escalation, let's say Iran steps it up with Hezbollah against Israel, and mm-hmm. then what would Israel do? They could conceivably go in and bomb a few oil production facilities in Iran. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, what is that going to do to the oil price? And how Bingo. Much is that going to help out Putin? But not just Putin. It also serves the green tech industry, which we've been talking about. They're panicking about it right now. Yellen's going to China to talk to them about it. And when gas prices spike up, so do EV sales. And they're panicking. Nobody wants to buy their cars. They're rolling out new emission standards. They're going to China. And now they're jacking up oil prices with Iran saber rattling. And if they really want to spike EV sales, you know, next thing you know, Israel will be dropping bombs on a couple Iranian oil facilities.
Oh, and you know that's probably going to happen next. If you were going to say what was next, and then it drives up the EV, because the EV's got quite the backlash right now, and nobody wants them, and they've got a lot of bad press. Uncle Milty?
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to the higher prices when they make all the diesel trucks go away.
Oh, it's so sickening.
Exactly. They added those emission standards. Yep. So they not only did it for passenger cars. And here's the thing. You have to think about it. What out there in the world would China love to see? We just talked about they have excess EV capacity, excess batteries. What would Russia need to see? We know that their money comes from oil. What would the extreme left love to see? We know they're all invested in green tech and solar and electric vehicles. They would all love to see higher oil prices. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened last year in the spring? Oil got down to $63 a barrel. You know, it takes a few months to plan an operation like October 7th. Well, in October it happens. Now we have oil. Oil is up today. It's at $85 a barrel. You know, up, that's almost $20. That's over $20 more than it was just in May. And off of 60%, that's doing the math in my head, that's a 35% increase in oil. That's money to the bottom line of Russia. It helps the EV and the clean tech industry in China, and it helps the Al Gores of the world that are running all of their clean tech venture capital scams.
Yep. Amen, brother. Oh my gosh. I love it though that you put that so simply, that this is honestly the way that they can gouge oil prices, and there's so many reasons to do that right now for them, and the green hill that they're ready to die on. They love the green hill and the money hill. Those are the two hills. So we always, everything, all roads lead back to those two hills, just like with the minimum wage thing too, right? Sure. So bringing that in.
Exactly. And we didn't even have to bring in the military industrial complex who loves it as well. I mean, October 7th, this was like it's going to be a national holiday in the deep economic state. That was the greatest thing that ever happened. And all they had to do was kill a few thousand innocent Jews. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's getting off easy for them.
Amen. Uncle Milty, what do you think?
I was really excited to hear that our speaking of the military industrial complex, the new F-35 fighter is going to be able to carry a nuclear bomb now.
Oh, my gosh. It's endless, isn't it? And going back, did you want to say anything more about this 20 minimum wage hike, $20?
The last thing, just because I teased it a little bit, and I want people to know that the research happens. And I think this is what's, you know, so amazing about your show, Kate. It's like, you know, it's so easy to go onto the mainstream and they'll give you the headlines and the big, you know, bright, shiny object. And a lot of times you hear people talking, and none of this is surprising. We all know that there's stuff happening behind the scenes. We all knew that there was something rotten in Denmark with this $20 minimum wage. But it's important to do the homework and know what you're talking about, because otherwise you're like all those idiots on the left that run around talking about climate change, and they've never actually, you know, read a book by an independent scientist to see if it's really happening or not. They don't know. So what I found here, this was an executive summary from basically a long basically paper documenting this woman, April Verrett. She is the treasurer of this international union. So the number two person in charge, the person in charge of all of the money. She's the one who, along with treasurer, she was the president of SEIU Local 2015, which was a California healthcare worker unions, which is part of this larger service union that includes the fast food workers. So this is who went on strike against the leadership. They alleged, abusive work, retaliation against whistleblowers. They have pictures of tweets. The second that her own workers struck against her, she went onto Twitter and posted all of their jobs open. So all, like, you see, like, organizer one open, organizer
vengeful
two open.
Vengeful little thing. Jeez.
And then the other thing that they talk about is in 2019, she rehired this guy named Rickman Jackson, who was ordered to turn over $30,000 in money linked to a scandal during his last position as president of a Michigan local union. And he was the chief of staff there for a guy named Tyrone Freeman. Tyrone Freeman, who was sentenced to prison for mail fraud, embezzlement, theft of labor assets, false statements, and tax fraud. So you have this woman, and the leader of this entire union is getting set to retire, and this April Verrett could be taking over. And you have these connections with people she'd hired that are basically going in there and ripping off the union members and the union itself.
Oh, my gosh. Uncle Milty.
The nice thing, though, that, I mean, there's always a bright side. These people always eat their own.
That is the truth. No, you know what? You're right about that. And they always show who they are. They always tell you who they are, so believe them, as my grandmother used to say. Yep. They show you who they are. And also, yes, they end up they end up insane. Look at Nancy Pelosi and Severus and Chavez. I mean, they're mentally ill at the end of the day. Nancy is too. And so they show who they are. The crazy just begats crazy, if you want to go to scripture, begats the insane. And they are. We had mental illness Easter. I mean, come on. It's getting out of control here. I don't know. Any parting words, Mel?
Well, I think at the end of the day, that's what part of this is. Like, when we lived in tribes, you could tell from the time someone was 12 who was the psychopath.
Yep.
And you didn't let that you let that person go on war parties and hunt with you, but you didn't let them babysit your children. In modern society, we don't get to see who the psychopaths are.
You're right.
They're the 3-10% of the human population that's running all these organizations, because they're the ones that are crazy enough and psychopathic enough and power hungry enough and control hungry.
Now we have the tribe. Now we have the tribe telling them that they're perfectly normal and that you must tell them they're perfectly normal. The tribe would have never done that in the past. Mel Madison, the book is Quaz. Thank you, Mel. Uncle Milty, great show. And a big thank you to Philip Patrick, birchgold.com, for articles, amazing articles today. You should check out. out. Of course, be faithful, be fearless. We'll see you here tomorrow. And put in my name, Kate.